Well, our scripture text this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke. If you'd like to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Once again, that is Luke, chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Hear now the word of the Lord. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy departed him. Now, brothers and sisters, we have a remarkable blessing set before us, don't we? As we gather here this evening for worship, we see the bread and the wine that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us right here before us. And yet, even as we contemplate the greatness of this blessing, I think if we're being honest, we also recognize that many of us come with a bit of trepidation. How often do we come to church wondering about the state of our souls before God? To put it differently, how much confidence do you have that Christ will fulfill the spiritual needs that you bring to him? How much confidence do you have that when you approach him in worship, that when you approach him in prayer, that he is indeed a friend to you? And that even though you recognize the sin and the unworthiness of your heart, that he extends the hand of grace? I think all of us know the answer. I trust all of us know the gospel, but it is my hope that with this text this morning, the Holy Spirit will help these gospel truths to settle deeper into our hearts, that we may have confidence in Christ's gracious will for his people. And so with God's help, we will be looking at this theme this morning, or this evening, Jesus Christ willing and able to cleanse a leper. Jesus Christ willing and able to cleanse a leper. That's the big idea. We'll be looking at that big idea under three headings. First, a loathsome condition. Second of all, a humble request. And finally, a willing cleansing. And so let's look at the start of verse 12 and see the loathsome condition of this leper. As we read again at the beginning of verse 12, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. Now, in the context of Luke 5, if you back up a little bit, you see that at this time in Christ's ministry, it is very early in Christ's ministry, and yet there is already a lot of controversy swirling around who this man is. We see that just before in Luke 5, Christ has called his disciples, and so he has this group of apostles coming with him. He has his disciples that are gathering around his teaching. But we also see that shortly before, in Luke 4, he was cast out of the synagogue in his own hometown of Nazareth and nearly murdered. And so already we have this growing reputation and growing controversy of Jesus Christ as he begins to do his ministry in the region of Galilee. Now, in the context of this, we see a unique figure approaching Christ. As his fame spread, as these polarizing opinions of him spread, we see this unique figure comes suddenly upon the scene. I actually like how the King James Version phrases it. It says, when he was in one of the cities, behold, a leper. There's this startling aspect to it that is reflected in the original language, behold, a leper, as if all of a sudden Jesus is going about his business, and out of nowhere, there comes a leper, and not just a leper, but notice, a man full of leprosy. He was full of leprosy. We can imagine that this would have caused quite a shock, quite a stir among the disciples. This was someone who was not supposed to be near them. Certainly someone that was not supposed to be near their teacher, and yet he comes onto the scene very quickly. And so there's this suspense already in the story. Who is this man? What is he going to say? You could see the leprous patches of his skin peeking out from under the folds of his garments. You could see it on his face. He was clothed, but Luke says, behold, a man full of leprosy. What is he going to say? What is Christ going to say? Well, I want to just draw your attention to the full weight of this man's condition. He has it from head to toe. That is why it is so surprising that he is approaching Christ. Now, we recognize that this would have brought a lot of physical pain and discomfort to this man. But that is not the most disturbing or difficult part of it for him, is it? In Numbers 12, you may remember that when Miriam opposed the authority of Moses and the authority of God, that God reached out his hand and struck her with leprosy. And there's a very disturbing description of what happened to her in Numbers 12:10. It says that Miriam's skin was white as snow. Just imagine that. Imagine a healthy woman suddenly touched so that her skin turns white as snow. It's very unsettling. It's very disturbing. And I think the reason why is because we associate that kind of unnatural paleness with death. We're not looking at someone who is just naturally of fair skin. No, this was the unnatural paleness and whiteness of a corpse. And if you look at the way that Leviticus 13 describes the appearance of leprosy on the human body, as God instructs the Levite priests in how to identify it, you see that it really reflects the types of changes that happen on the skin of somebody when they've passed away and their body is decomposing. And so I'm not saying that people that are leprous are dead. But there's this unnatural, uncanny association. You see these red splotches. You see this white, pale skin. You see flakes. You see hair falling out. I know this is kind of disgusting, but that's the point. It's death appearing on a living body, as one medical source put it. But that's not even the worst part, is it? Because we also know that lepers were not allowed to dwell among the people. According to the Levitical law, Leviticus 13 says, the leper shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. The leper is not to have contact with normal people. And when he did, when this leper by chance draws near to, we could say, a healthy person, what did he have to say? He had to distinguish himself and shout, unclean. He had to warn people, don't come near me, I'm unclean. Just imagine the social burden of living this way, of not being able to gather in the marketplace with your normal folks, not being able to exchange the kiss of greeting that we see so often in the New Testament. To put it in our context, this man could not shake hands. He could not give a pat on the back. He could not even come to worship with us this evening because the unclean was not allowed to approach God to worship in the temple. This is the worst part of it all. The ritually unclean leper could not offer sacrifices at Jerusalem. He could not enjoy the feasts which were appointed. He could not gather with his fellows and hear the word preached, hear the law preached by the Levites, the institutions that God gave to sustain the faith and the health of the Old Testament church were not available to the leper. He had a loathsome condition. This is a very grim picture, and it's not one that I think any of us can fully relate to. But what's really interesting is how Christ redefines uncleanness. Christ redefines uncleanness. Listen to what he says in Mark chapter 7. You don't have to turn there. You can if you would like. Mark 7, verses 20 to 23. And Jesus said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. That is not something that is outside coming onto you, something on the surface like leprosy, but what comes from the inside. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, Sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, all these things come within and they defile a person. And so remember, under the Old Testament system, there were many things that we recognize as what could be called types and shadows. There were signs of things in the Old Testament that point to deeper spiritual realities. And so being a leper did not necessarily mean that this man was sinful, that he was evil, at least any more than any other man. But God used the picture representation of leprosy to represent sin. And Christ is saying that what you should really be concerned about is not these things that come from the outside, like eating certain foods or having certain medical conditions. You should not be concerned about those things making you unclean before God. You should recognize that what comes out from your evil heart is what truly makes you unclean. Leprosy represents sin. The sin that we carry as natural men mean that we cannot live inside the camp of God's blessing. We must stay outside of Zion. I'm speaking to us in our natural condition. And we recognize this in our experience, don't we? Because when we approach God without the clothing of Christ, the only thing which our conscience can say, like the leper, is unclean. We recognize in ourselves that we are not worthy to approach a clean and a pure God because we see in our hearts the very kind of evil which Christ describes. Now that, I said, is our natural condition. That is who we are apart from God's grace. But to you believers who are gathered here this evening, to those of you here who trust in Christ, although you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and like the people of Noah's time, that the thoughts of your hearts were only wicked continually. Although we recognize that in these ways we were like the leper, we also see that in Christ there is a new heart in us, a principle of new creation. And you may recognize the uncleanness that is in yourself. You may recognize that there are still wicked things that come out of your heart. But if you have faith in Christ, you also recognize the fruit of the Spirit. You recognize the joy of a Christian, the peace of a Christian, the love of a Christian. In other words, you're not defined by that uncleanness. God renders a man clean and then works it out in his life so that he acts as one who is. And so I'm introducing you here at the beginning of this text to two types of people. We see the leprous man. We see that his whole body is full of leprosy. And I'm suggesting to you that this represents, in a very vivid picture, the way that our hearts are apart from Christ. But I'm also suggesting to you that Christ is willing and able to cleanse. Now, what is the difference between those two? Now, of course, we say in the ultimate sense that God providentially draws some, but this passage is really highlighting faith. Faith. That is the evidence of a clean man, one whose heart is not full of leprosy. It is faith. And so take a look with me at the second half of verse 12. Here we go to our second point of the sermon, a humble request. Look at how this man approaches Christ. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Now I want you to consider, first of all, the great danger that this man put himself in approaching Christ. There's a very important detail that you may have missed at the beginning of verse 12. Christ was in one of the cities. Christ was not outside the walls. He was in a populous place. He was among the crowds. He was not in the wilderness. And as Christ is there in the city doing his ministry, behold a man who doesn't belong there. Behold a man who could be stoned for approaching them. He endangered everybody else around him by his presence. He endangered them by presenting himself as an unclean man coming among the clean, and he could be stoned if they chose to do so under the law. But he pushes through the crowds. He goes into the city. He works himself up to the presence of Christ. You see the confidence in this man. You see the boldness, the singleness of purpose. And notice what he says. He does not approach Christ and say, unclean, but he begs him. He calls him Lord, and he begs him. There's an astonishing confidence, and yet you see also the humility. This man knew he was unclean, and he doesn't just beg him, he falls on his face. And here is this man. The crowds draw away. They're not going to come near. And there is Christ alone with this man, and his face is in the dust, and he calls Jesus Lord. He calls Jesus Lord. He's humble. He knows who he's in the presence of. And the confidence. He begs him. He doesn't just ask. He besought. He begged. I propose to you that this is the posture of faith. If you want to know what faith looks like, if you want to know what faith looks like in your own heart, it's just like this. It's confidence and humility. Confidence in Christ. Confidence that Christ is the one to heal you, to cleanse you. Christ is the one to bring you into the presence of God. And yet it's humility. It's putting your face in the earth before Christ and calling him Lord. And yet it's begging him. It's pushing through the crowds. It's not giving regard to the consequences which may come from our fellow man, but going into the city and pursuing Christ with confidence and casting aside the consequences and putting your face in the dust and grabbing hold of Christ's garments, as it were, and begging him and asking him of what you need. That is what faith is. Do you know that kind of faith? I'm not saying that this is what every moment of your Christian life looks like. The whole Christian life is not this wonderful, ecstatic experience of faith, and we all know that. But has there ever been a time in your life, hopefully many, where you have cast yourself upon Christ and have begged him? And look what this man asks. Look what he asks, because this is telling too. What is faith? What does he say? Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Isn't that remarkable? What would you expect him to say? Lord, if you will, you can take away my leprosy. You can heal me. You can make me feel better. What does he say? You can make me clean. He's concerned about being unclean. He asked to be clean. He's concerned about the thing which is separating himself from the worshiping community. And can't we hear perhaps a hint of repentance here too? You can make my heart clean. You can make me clean so that I can approach you in worship, so that I can gather with your people, so that I can be a part of your flock. You can make me clean. You see that he's concerned with what's most important. He looks past these surface level things, even painful things, hard things, things that make him look horrible to the eye. And yet he's concerned about being clean. That is what faith is. Think about it this way. If your engine isn't running, you have a bigger problem than if you have a dent in your bumper. The engine of faith is what drives the Christian life. And if your engine isn't running, if you're not clean, if you're not right before God, that's a bigger problem. God, in his mercy, loves to bless his people with all kinds of physical blessings. He loves to heal people. He loves to pour out his grace upon them. But that's not what he's most concerned about. He wants people to come to him like this leper and say, make me clean first of all. If there is one thing, make me clean, that I may stand righteously before you, that I may have a place among your flock and know that this is where I belong. And so if you recognize that, remember what is central to your faith. Remember what's most important. Don't spend most of your time on things that are of less importance. It is better to go with pain, with financial difficulty, with many struggles in this life, and to follow the leper into heaven than to fall wealthy and rich and comfortable into hell. It is better to be clean with little than dirty with much. And here is the confidence, the reason that we can have confidence. We come to verse 3. We have seen this man's loathsome condition. We have seen what makes his experience so hard. We have seen how that relates to us. We have seen his faith. We have seen what faith looks like. And now there's a very important outstanding question. What is Christ going to say? And you know the answer. We've read the passage. But I want you to allow yourself to sit in that tension as we transition to the third point. Sit in the tension. You remember that this took a lot of confidence, a lot of boldness, a lot of faith to approach Christ. And he says, if you are willing, you can. The leper knows that Christ can cleanse him, but the question is Christ willing? What will Jesus say? Verse 13, how wonderful. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. How beautiful is that? Every detail of this verse emphasizes the compassion of Christ for this man. Think about it from this way. We see, first of all, that Jesus reached out and touched him. How surprising must that have been to those who were watching? He reached out and touched him. These were Jews living under the Mosaic law. Christ was a Jew. This leper was a Jew. This man was unclean. Jesus was clean. And yet the clean reaches out and touches the unclean. I've already said that uncleanness was contagious. If the clean comes in contact with the unclean, then both are unclean. And yet Jesus Christ reaches out and he touches the man as he cleanses him. This is, as the Nicene Creed says, you know, Christ is God of God. He's light of light. He's very God of very God. He was in the beginning with God. He is perfect. He dwells in light and in purity and in cleanness. And he comes down to this earth and he reaches out and touches a man full of leprosy and uncleanness, who, by the way, was not righteous either, because none are. And he touches him. And this is really remarkable when you remember this is not necessary. Christ healed so often without touching. And yet he seems to make a point here, doesn't he? By touching this man. When was the last time he was touched? We don't know. It seems likely that it would have been a very long time since he has had this condition. None of us here would have been able to touch him, but Jesus Christ does. How remarkable. As children, we learn that when we get hurt, oftentimes a hug from our parents feels much better and lifts us up much more than kind words. That's why children run to their parents, not to be told they're fine, but to give them a hug, right? We like to get a handshake and a job well done. We like to get a pat on the back. We like to hug our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's something that in the way that God has designed us that resonates in a unique way with physical touch. Some people more and some people less. But what a powerful image of Christ going above and beyond, as it were, in these little details, blessing this man And as he touches him, he raises him up, not physically, but in dignity. And he shows the kindness and the compassion of his heart. And yet that's not where he stops. As we see in verse 13, he also says this, I will be clean. I will be clean. Now this is really the heart of the passage, is it not? That's the title of the sermon. It's the heart of the passage. If you're going to underline something, I would politely suggest that this is what you underline. Because this is it. I will be clean. Now, first of all, notice that he essentially mirrors the leper's request. The leper says, if you are willing, you can. You can make me clean. And Jesus says, I will be clean. The way that this is structured in the original language makes this very clear. Jesus essentially took the petition of this man and said it, yes, right back to you. Here you go. It's a beautiful thing. The heart of Christ. And what makes it so wonderful is that we see here what Christ wants. We see here what Christ desires. We see here what the inclination of Christ's heart is. When he says, I will, it's in that sense. It's not in the sense of, I will make you clean, be clean. Does that make sense? He's not saying, I will do this in the future. He's saying, I will it. My will, my desire, what I want to do is to make you clean. That's what I want. That's what Christ says to this man. It's a portrait of Christ's heart to those who approach him in faith. And we see the result at the end of verse 13. And immediately the leprosy left him. This was a man who, if we're speaking of cancer, it was stage 4. He had a critical condition. He was full of leprosy. But at the words of Christ, it's like the light switching on in a dark room. The leprosy departs in an instant. And there before him is a clean man, a remade man, a new man. Does this not show us not only the heart of Christ, but the identity of Christ? In Matthew 11, John sends his disciples to Jesus, John the Baptist, and says, you know, are you the Messiah or should we look for another? And you know what? One of the signs that Christ told them to confirm, yes, I am the man. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Christ is saying, when you see lepers cleansed, it's a sign that the Messiah is here. It's a sign that the King is here. It's a sign that the kingdom is here. This man is the Messiah. He's the Savior. You can tell by the works of grace that he does. You can tell because he's powerful, and he has authority, and he's saving these men. And you can even see this in the structure of Christ's response. Imagine how arrogantly this would come off if Jesus was not the Lord, if Jesus was not the Savior, if Jesus was just a prophet, what right would he to say, I will be clean. As if any mere man has the authority to say, it depends on me and what I want, and I say, yes, this is what I want, and furthermore, I'm declaring that you are going to be clean. That is blasphemous coming from a man. But coming from the Lord of glory, coming from Jesus Christ, the Messiah, coming from the one who John the Baptist was expecting, he can say, it depends on me, and this is what I want. Now be clean. You see Christ's power, his identity, his lordship. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior, and his heart is for this man. Now let's come back to today, shall we? We recognize that leprosy does not require this same kind of miracle, if I may say so reverently. We have the miracle of modern medicine, and in God's grace, the conditions that are kind of collected under the idea of leprosy in the Bible are, for the most part, treatable and preventable and even curable. You know, there's not many folks walking around in our society today that deal with what the Bible calls leprosy. And that's a wonderful thing. But I can tell you that there is a condition which all of us have experienced, in which all of those walking around in our society know, and that is the condition of man's sinfulness, his uncleanness. And to be changed from that requires a miracle still. Even though our skin may be clean, our hearts are white as snow, not with the purity of holiness, but with the paleness of death. And like Leviticus 13, apart from Christ, our hearts have the hair falling out, and they have yellow patches on them, and they're pink splotches, and they're all pale and flaky and disgusting because they're dead. And it still requires a miracle of Christ, this Messiah Lord, to reach out and to touch a heart that has come to him and say, I will be clean. That is the gospel. It still requires a miracle. And so we can scrub at these dirty hearts with whatever we have. We can scrub at them with church attendance, even evening worship attendance. We can scrub at them with good works. We can scrub at them with right doctrine and biblical knowledge. We can have all of these things which we can present to God and say, I've done my best, this is why I'm clean. But not any of that will take one flake off of that dead heart. It will not do what Christ can do with one touch in four words. With one touch of his hand, and with four words, I will be clean. Christ declares a man clean, and clean he is. And he is given a new heart and a new life. And he is given the right to join the saints, to be among the flock, and to have his inheritance with God. That is a miracle, is it not? And so that brings us back to the start. There are some here who are cleansed. Christ has touched you in that way. But perhaps you still fear to approach him at times, and I hope you do, because that's a good sign. And perhaps there are some here, I don't know, who have never been made clean. Perhaps there are some here still, I hope not, but perhaps there are some here still whose hearts are still full of death. And in different ways, both of those people can ask this question, what about me? Well, Jesus, you cleansed me when I was 13, but I still see a lot of sin in my heart. I have faith, but there's so much sin left in me. Can I still come to you, Jesus? And perhaps some here who say, I know my heart is dead, and I don't have it. I don't have this cleansing that you are offering, but can I come to you? Is my condition too bad? And so as I conclude this evening, I want to give each of those groups two reasons why you can have confidence to approach Christ. In different ways, but two reasons. First of all, just go back to verse 13. Look at what Christ says. I will be clean. You have seen what faith looks like, believer. If you know that mix of confidence and of humility, and you have gone to Christ and have called upon his promises, look at what Christ's attitude is to you. His attitude to you is, I will be clean. John 6, 37, he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Christian, if you are here and you are concerned about coming to Christ on account of your unworthiness, though you come humble and pleading his blessing, if you're concerned about that, just consider that you will not be the exception to Christ's promise. We have thousands of years of history of saint after saint who has come to God with people who have come to God with their sin and have pled his promises to him and have never been cast out. And you will not be the exception. You will not be the one to whom Christ says, I will cast out this one who comes to me because he is not quite up to par. We see that Christ is predisposed to be gracious to those who approach him in this way. At the same time, to those here who are Christians, to those here who know that Christ is their Savior but continue to struggle, I want you to consider that Christ even though he may not be here physically, has already stretched out his hand for you. Think about it this way. If you believe in Christ, if you recognize that faith in your heart, if you recognize that you are sinful, but you still come worshiping, you still come expectant of his blessing, you still come bold and confident, you still feel unclean, but you reach out to Christ like this leper, consider that Christ has already reached out his hands for you. He reached out his hands for you thousands of years ago as he put down the hand of Peter holding the sword and stretched his hands forth to the Roman soldiers and offered his arms to be bound. He stretched out his hands to be bound, and he was led willingly from the garden to the Sanhedrin. He was led willingly from the Sanhedrin to Pilate's court. He did not pull back his arms. He did not break his bonds. He held out his hand to receive the reed staff of the Roman soldiers as they mocked him. And afterwards, he stretched out his hands on that cross. He did not pull back his left hand as the right nail was being driven in. He left his hands there. And he was raised and held up between heaven and earth with his arms stretched, and he did not pull them back. The Messiah, the one who could say, I will be clean. It depends on me. I'm God, and it's my divine will that you should be clean. He did not call down the legions of angels to free him, to pull back his arms. He left his hands outstretched to the end. The cruel torments that he endured, the temptation. He died with his hands outstretched. He died for his people with his hands outstretched. And he was risen, and he ascended on high. And what does he do now? Does he pull back your hand, his hand? He leaves it stretched before the Father, interceding for his saints. Father, I will that this one be clean. Father, I will that your spirit should touch this one and that he should be made clean, that she should be made clean, and that they will be brought to me, that I may give them the hand of fellowship in eternity. He stretches out his hands in heaven, even for his saints, even now. He will not pull them back. Christ will not pull back his hand from you now. He will carry you. He will take you all the way. Trust in him. His will for you, dear believer, is that you be clean, that you be whole, that you be taken all of the way through the valley of the shadow of death and may rest in the cleanness that he won for you. That is our inheritance. Let us hope in it this day. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, what a generous provision of salvation you have made for us. Surely, Lord, as many troubles as come upon our hearts, as many ways as Satan tries to tempt us and to lead us to the left side or to the right, Lord, you have made generous provision for our salvation. And you have made a straight path for us to walk on, and you have given Christ's hand to lead us. We feel our weakness. Lord, we see the uncleanness of our heart, but you have given your blood to wash us. Lord Jesus, we do not need anything else. Would you help us to feel that? Would you help us to go forward this evening confident in where our help comes from? And confident that even as our shaking hands reach out to you, that you will grab our arm and that you will not let go. Lord God, would you show us, even as we turn to celebrate now the sacrament, the beauty of this grace that has been given to us. And may we go now with your blessing. In Christ's name, amen.